don't have a lot more to say, but we started talking this morning about faith enhancers, and actually there's a whole lot more that could be talked about with faith enhancers, because we know that there is that sense of, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, and that desire to have more faith. And we talked about many of those physical things that the Lord used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and those things were there to enhance faith. He told Abraham about the sand and the sea, and the stars. He told about the tabernacle. He told Gideon, and I didn't show you the slide on Gideon. I somehow got it transposed, but I had written a slide about Gideon and how that Gideon, of course, also was called a mighty man of valor, and he was somehow told that he was awesome, and he was yet not really, he was hiding, if you will. And at that same time, what happened, if you read the story of Gideon, Gideon then fleeced the Lord, and he didn't have a lot of faith. And I read you the verses where he said that somehow it's on down slide 16 there, where Gideon somehow told them, he said, if the Lord is with us, why am I going through this? I know we've never prayed that kind of prayer. None of us are guilty, but Gideon was guilty. Why am I going through what I'm going through? God was with us. And why is this befalling us? Why am I in this problem? And where are all the miracles? You know, they get up in church and talk about miracles, but where's my miracle? And why hadn't it happened to me? I know we've never said that, but Gideon said that kind of a prayer. And he actually said, well, the Lord has forsaken us, and the Lord is not with us. And then he goes on, if you read, and I didn't talk about it because it's the negative part of this when you have something physical even a word like that came to Gideon. Gideon used a golden or an ephod, and he put it out, and then the dew and all of that, and then made a golden ephod or a golden girdle, and it wasn't long until it became the icon. It became the symbol rather than it being just an enhancer of my faith. You see, the same was true about Moses. When they were being bit by serpents, the Bible says Moses told them to put a serpent on a pole and lift it up, and those that looked up would live, and yet it wasn't long until that became an icon. In other words, I'm looking more to that than to God. And so we were talking about our physical things that we do, whether it's raise a hand, get a prayer cloth, get anointed, sing, worship. Those things are not more important than God.
Amen.
Those are supposed to usher us into the presence of God, you know? And I'm here to tell you that I believe and call for the elders of the church, and I believe that you know, to do your part, to say, Lord, I want to be anointed with oil. But don't you ever hesitate that if you need to talk to God and you can't reach somebody, you're welcome to put your own hand on your head and say, Lord, touch my body. You're welcome to go get some olive oil out of the jar in the kitchen and say, Lord, I need.
Yes.
Why? Because it is not an icon that has to be worshipped more than God. We have, these are faith enhancers that are verbalizing things prophetically. And we talked about how that Jesus did that with regard to the Holy Ghost and baptism, and those things were the defeat of Satan that was in Revelation. Why does all of this happen? In our last slide, we talked about, of course, the faith as a grain of mustard seed, but we had looked at where Jesus breathed on them. Brother Rogers mentioned a great analogy today, and I had not thought of it really, but when the man with the eyes and the Lord spit in the ground and made mud and put that in his eye sockets and told him to go wash. If I'm not mistaken, if you order one of these 23andMe or whatever, I think they ask you to either swab the inside of your mouth or spit in a cup, don't they? They want your saliva because that gets your, what is it that it gets? Deoxyribonucleic acid from you? Yeah. DNA, I think that's what it stands for. Is that right? I'm almost a scientist, huh? Deoxyribonucleic acid. It gets your DNA in the saliva, and they can tell where you're from.
Oh, come on. Amen. Come on. Amen.
I would have loved to have asked that guy about his eyes, that second set of eyes. Of course, he had never seen before. He was born blind. But those eyes, you know, we're a glorified mud ball anyway. We're made of dust and we'll go back to dust. So when the Lord made those DNA eyes, those were...
Glory. Yes.
Woo.
Amen.
He could really see what was going on. He had the DNA of... Anyway, hallelujah, that's a whole nother thought. We were talking about faith enhancer. What are you saying? I'm saying that with just a word. I mentioned this morning that that a word, why the worlds were formed by the word. And so I know the enemy's job is to somehow try to make sure that he attacks our thoughts. And that's part of what we fight against. That's why these faith enhancers. That's why we get a prayer cloth. That's why we read a scripture. That's why we're praying the Psalms. That's why we're doing some of these things, is because it's getting our mind refocused back on the spiritual and not on the carnal. And Paul wrote it like this: for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. This is not what our body. And yet sometimes we feel like, well, I'm fighting my flesh and I'm fighting my temptations and I'm fighting my wants and my bad things, and I'm fighting my addictions. Let me tell you, that's not where your fight starts. Your fight starts right up here. And that's why these faith enhancers, he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are those strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What do you mean? The knowledge of God. I believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've got to know that. I've got to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. He is, and he is a rewarder. God's on my side. God's got this taken care of. If he needs to, he can spit in the ground and make a whole new body out of me. And bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And then you say, well, but I don't feel like I can change. I don't feel like, you know, this is too hard. And I've had people tell me, you were raised in it, you don't understand, you don't know what Simon Peter, who was a pretty rough fisherman who you know, was one to be brash. He was ready to argue with God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was going to tell him how to build temples. Simon Peter was the one that was telling the Lord no. And finally the Lord said, "Get behind me, Satan." And all of this, this is the Simon Peter, rough, tough fisherman, of course, jumped in the boat, but he wrote this book, and he said, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, by that by these you might be, by those promises you might be partakers of his divine nature." How does the promise help you partake of the divine nature? Is every once in a while getting out a promise book or getting out the word of God and saying, "Lord, I need deliverance, I need help." That promise, oh, what? Having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. That's why he said, "We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away." I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what your addiction cycle is. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what folks have done to you. I'm talking about there is a God that can make you a new creature. Grab hold of a promise. Get a faith enhancer and say, "God, you are able." Say, "Well, but you don't understand." I know. My wife quoted this a week or so ago. It's my this that is for my good. Philippians, "I know that this shall turn unto salvation through your prayer and the supply of Jesus Christ." That's why he says these come out except by prayer and fasting. Sometimes I got to get a hold of God and remind myself. I don't need to remind God. God's already won the battle. God's already paid for healing. God's already done all the work that needs to be done. All I have to do is remind myself, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And I want to tell you something. And this is a whole nother whatever. But the hardest person you got to deal with, not everybody else.
Amen.
Two different times, Jesus took a whip and got angry. And you know where he was? Wasn't at the pool of Siloam. Wasn't at the pool of Bethesda. He didn't go out there and say, "You bunch of lousy." You know where he went? To the temple. Now our body is the temple. What do you say? If you're going to get rough with somebody, you know who you need to get rough with first? That's why one writer said, Paul said, "I beat my body." Another time he said, "Mortify the deeds of the body." Well, I like myself too much to do get crazy. I don't want to, you know, you don't understand. I don't like this and I don't like that and I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable doing it. You grab a hold of that old comfort devil. Huh? I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not supposed to grab hold of your say, "Hey, you better get up there." But it's got to be this one. This is the one I got to grab hold of. Why? Because I'm the one that will stand in way of the faith of moving with the presence of God. I'm the one that will not sing when I need to sing, not shout, not worship, not quote a proverb, not quote a psalm, not quote a promise. Huh? Because I get wrapped up in my own. So that's why he said in Philippians, "I know that this shall be unto my salvation through your prayer and supply of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope." In other words, my faith, my expectation and my faith. Faith is the substance of things hope for and the evidence. See how this all fits together? It somehow starts churning my faith. Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this, but somehow it's going to work to my salvation. By your prayer, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise. I'm going to somehow try to touch the Lord through my expectation and hope in that nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. I want to magnify the Lord, whether by life or by death. What are you saying? What happens to this old boy is not what's important. It's on the outside as what's going on the inside. Lord, I'm going to touch you. I want my faith enhanced. Then I read it this morning. When they asked, why couldn't you cast him out? He said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, I brought it back in. We probably got mustard seeds all over the... I was going to just throw them, but I knew we'd have trouble. I'd be buying new belts for the vacuum cleaners come Monday. Sister Wickline, all those that clean in here would have been wanting to run me out on a rail. We'd have a special business meeting to vote on the pastor. But you saw how little and minute that little mustard seed is. And yet he said, if you just had that much. So what does it mean? What was the Lord trying to say? Is it you don't have to, and this man said, increase my faith, help my unbelief. It really is, Lord, let me plug my faith into you and get it moving, get something happening with it. You know, you don't need a whole lot. You just use what you got. And we all have been dealt, the Bible says, a measure of faith. As a matter of fact, Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse, and I alluded to it this morning, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made. What are you saying? Whatever mountain you're facing, whatever problem, whatever difficulty, I know a God that's bigger than all of it. I know a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works inside of us. According to the power. And how do I have to get that power going? I have to say, Lord, I want to activate my faith. I want somehow to be charged full of faith. I want to be full of faith. Why? I don't know what tomorrow may hold. But one thing I do know is I know who holds tomorrow. All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, individuals were faced with a dilemma. The lady that grabbed hold of the hem of his garment, she just said, if I could touch that, I'll be made whole. Bible says that when Jesus left, they sent her back to her own country. And later in the Bible, it says when Jesus went there, people lined up in the road just to touch his garment. Why? Because that lady had told somebody, let me tell you, if you just touch his garment, and people had faith. And that's why, you know, we see it, we've heard it in the mission field. All you have to do is tell people, you know what? You come down here, God's going to touch. God's going to heal. And people start building faith. And you know, they come with expectation. And they come believing. And there's something about it. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, and you say, well, how come he didn't do it? I don't know. But what I do know is that you can build yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying. How? In the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. So, I don't know why it works, but sometimes if you'll just stop and raise your hands and just start letting the Holy Ghost flow, all of a sudden you'll feel a surge of faith. I don't
don't know why, but I just was standing. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. Right now, I need a new surge of faith. Lord, the Bible says, building up yourself on your most holy faith. That's in you, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, let's stand. If you want another mustard seed,